listening to KSF SF Radio.
You are listening to Otter Pop Culture.
Get out of my closet. Otter Pop Culture.
Welcome to Otter Pop Culture. I am your host. Today, we are talking about competition at its finest, and we have a very special guest, and that is Annette Starbuck, winner of the third season premiere of Cupcake Wars. That's going to come about a middle of the hour. With me, as always, is my wonderful host, Mitchell.
Hello, darling.
And joining us tonight, all the way from New Zealand, comes the beautiful Sinead. Give us a hey.
Hey.
Glad to have you here.
Off the little rock off the coast of Australia.
Exactly. I've heard of that place.
If you could see her face right now.
It would be offended.
So offended.
All right, let's start us off with a thing I like to do, Pop Culture of the Week, where we go around and we talk about what we're digging on in the modern cultural world this week. I've got... why don't you start? I'll say
me?
Mine.
Okay. Yeah. I just watched today Florence and the Machine's new video for Never Let Me Go. First of all, she dyed her black for the video. It's kind of weird, and she's kind of covered in hair for the whole thing, and she's on an ice rink.
Like a Sasquatch?
Like a Sasquatch, but it's more like horror movie, like wet, like black gunk all over her, and then she's on an ice rink, but she doesn't have ice skates, and then she's dancing with someone, and then she's covered in bubbles. Anyway, it's a really moving music video, and I recommend it to anyone who wants to see it. It's my absolute favorite song off the album.
What's the song called?
Never Let Me Go.
Oh.
It's you kind of have to watch it, but if you watch it, you'll realize it is exactly what I just said.
I kind of want to watch it now.
Sinead, are you listening to anything these days or watching anything show or music wise?
I've just rediscovered How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, really? I've never watched that show.
I kind of regret blogging last night because I was a little bit tipsy watching How I Met Your Mother and eating pizza.
Was it a good experience?
On the whole, yeah.
It is a good experience on the whole. What about you, Otter?
I've been playing through the game Mass Effect 2 because Mass Effect 3 just came out, and it's the conclusion to this trilogy that's been going on for a number of years now. So it's getting a lot of good reviews, and it's something I would like to play someday. So I figure I might as well go back and play
it. Oh, the one you're playing isn't the most recent?
No. The most recent one came out yesterday.
Isn't there a thing where if you finish the second one, the data goes
your character will carry over to the... I don't know yet. Something. But I want to talk about Kony 2012.
What is that?
What is Kony 2012, you might ask?
I don't know.
Kony 2012 is this frickin' campaign that is swarming Facebook. And what it is, it revolves around Joseph Kony. Joseph Kony is the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda. Now, the Lord's Resistance Army has been around since 1987, so 24 years old, and they're this religious extremist group that's like pseudo-Christian, mysticism, all this stuff, and they basically just mess stuff up in Uganda. They're the one that take child soldiers, they rape, pillage, and plunder. They're absolutely just really they're douchebags. They're fat douchebags. And a couple months ago, Obama sent 100 military advisors to Uganda to deal with these guys. And so they're sort of on the way out. But so 2006, they released a documentary called Invisible Children, which is about child soldiers in Uganda.
Yeah, I heard about that back in
the day. Right. So when it comes out, they make a charity called Invisible Children, Inc., and it's a charity to help them. And since then, it's grown to be astronomically large. It's a very big charity. And then
but these children aren't actually invisible.
No.
We can see them.
Yes. Yes. I don't know. I've never seen one.
They could be surrounding us right now, but we would know because
I'm surrounded by invisible children.
Are we sure they exist?
We don't know.
Well, that's...
There's a charity for hypothetical children.
Here is the rub, and that is that yesterday... This campaign, they release a new movie. About every year, this charity's released a movie about the same stuff, really. It's about, you know, child soldiers, which is fine. I'm not saying it's not. But so they release a new movie called Kony 2012, and it's a big campaign to raise awareness about Joseph Kony and to hunt him down and how he's the world's worst war criminal is what they're saying. And white girls on Facebook, aged like 17 to 25, ran with it.
You are suddenly making my newsfeed make sense. I've been seeing those pictures, like they did the thing they did with Obama's picture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With Conan, they're like, make him a celebrity so he's important enough to stop.
Actually, and, that was on my Facebook today, and I had no idea what it was
about. I've had, I think, 20 of my friends repost the video, and a number, maybe like six, put either a new banner up or a profile picture.
SFSU memes linked the video.
Yeah, no, and so did Mac Lethal, like a rapper I like. Chelsea Lately. And so then what happens wonderfully, like subsequently, is the outcrying of people that are saying, guys, like, do your research. Watch more than, granted, the video is half an hour, but like Google.
I don't have half an hour.
Google it. Google it to figure out what it's about. Look at the charity website. And now there's a bunch of counter protests coming in saying, like, we're not saying you shouldn't support Ugandan refugees. We're saying that
you don't understand what you're supporting.
Invisible Children Inc. Supports what's called the Ugandan now I'm going to mess this up. I think it's the Libyan it's another army. It's another army that combats the Lord's Resistance Army. From a different country. I think they're Ugandan something. And that army is nearly as bad. Has just as much history of rape and pillage and stuff. Yeah. So they support that. They, militarily, like, they give aid. And then the other thing is that something like just the charity's numbers. Like, last year, the charity made something to the tune of, like, $8 million. But only, like, 30% of it actually goes to anybody. The rest of it is staff and film production.
And production.
Yeah, to make these films. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, they're bad, because they're not bad. But I'm saying that I hate to generalize, but it's all the, like, 20-something-year-old white girls.
Yeah, who want to feel like they've done
are doing this ivory tower shtick on me. And
they don't understand colonialism. They don't understand how the continent of Africa
I don't understand.
Yeah, but Africans killing Africans. It's like, who do you think is selling them their weapons? We are.
Yeah,
it's our companies that are funding them.
And then, so the argument is, one, know the charity you're supporting, know how much it gives. You know, there are better charities out there that give more to Ugandan refugees than Invisible Children Inc. The other one is
donate to anything that doesn't have a Sarah McLachlan song
attached
to it.
That's the only thing I donate to, which just ends up being a lot of Meow Mix, to be honest.
I know, but those starving dogs with one leg need Meow Mix.
So that's my rant about Kony 2012. I hope it dies really quickly, but I don't think it will. And it's messed up to say, like, yes, this needs awareness,
but nobody's helping in the right way.
Yeah, because I don't think these people are donating either. I'm pretty sure they're just linking the video.
They're just linking the video, and you are apathy.
This is a whole section of the American population that now knows that they're Ugandan child soldiers. Okay, that's a plus.
Woo. I don't know where Uganda is.
Is Joseph Kony the worst war criminal there is in the world? Probably not. Is he pretty bad? Probably. Is he going to be stopped? Probably pretty quickly. The U.S. has already militarily intervened.
Yeah.
Like, and which was kind of a blip on everybody's radar because we were doing other stuff at the time. Anyway.
Down with uppity white girls.
That is that.
Do we have any news?
No.
Damn.
Okay. First up is Mitt Romney has won 6 out of 10 of the Super Tuesday states. Now, I had to look up what Super Tuesday is because I'm not super informed.
Does it involve tacos?
No, but I wish it did. I wish it was. I wish it was super
ladies' night.
I wish it was Super Taco Tuesday. I guess it theoretically is. Super Tuesday is the day where the most states in the U.S. hold their primaries to see who is going to be a presidential candidate.
Okay.
And so 10 of them on the same day hold primary elections to see which Republican candidate is going to go all the way.
Now,
for press.
Pardon me for my ignorance, but who is competing against Romney at this point?
Rick Santorum is the runner-up.
Okay.
Newt Gingrich is still in the running. I think he's third.
He's the old one?
Yep, he's the one that says all the really,
really
heinous
terrible things.
Although Rick Santorum says a lot of heinous things. Okay. And then last up is Ron Paul. And hey, SFSU and Greater College Area. He's not going to win.
Have you seen the meme of people taking Ron Paul posters, cutting it up, and changing it to RuPaul?
No, that's hilarious.
It's really great. Google it.
We should talk about that more later. Next up, Australia's military has come under... Australia has come under scrutiny for massive sex abuse scandals. Apparently, in 2011, there was a big scandal about cadets filming another cadet having sex, and it led to an inquiry, and now lawyers have discovered 1,000... sex abuse cases in the last 50 years. Spanning 50 years, there's been 1,000 cases. The lawyers whittled that away to 775. Whittled, I mean, like, some of them, I guess, weren't.
How many of these cases were with sheep?
Probably at least 50.
Crocodiles in Australia, not sheep.
I think there are sheep, too. You don't know. I've never been there. There's drop bears. I just heard about this. Mitchell, have you ever heard of drop bear?
What's a drop bear?
It's this bear they have in Australia that it's like, it's smaller, but it's got like claws and fangs, and it lives in trees, and it'll drop down on you and start attacking you.
Yeah, I've heard about it. It's dangerous.
Most people stay away. You stay in New Zealand.
They're definitely like a
concern for people walking in like treed areas. Most people call them koalas, but.
But they're drop bears.
Drop
they're
bears.
Vicious. Well, they're probably not marsupials then.
Oh. Did you hear about the one that got stolen from the zoo recently?
Yeah, sort of. I don't remember much about it, but do you know anything about it?
Just that it was stolen from you?
Was it you? Are you hiding a drop bear in the on-air studio?
I think it would have been easier to get it from Australia than the U.S. considering I was in New Zealand.
You would think.
No, some dude stole it for his girlfriend.
What was she going to do with it?
I will keep him and love him and name him Fred.
I think that's more of a symbolic action than a practical one.
I have taken down Australia.
I have stolen you a bear.
And then a monkey was stolen recently after that. Like, what's with you guys?
Well, monkeys are functional because you can train them to be your servant.
No, yeah, monkeys, like, they can tie you.
Not a pet store, guys. The zoo is not a pet store.
One of my dreams is if I ever become a heroin addict, yeah. I want to have a monkey tie me off.
Ooh.
How cool would that be?
Like with a little fez hat?
Yeah. And a smoking jacket. Smoker's jacket. Smoking jacket.
And he'll be smoking a pipe.
Yeah. He's probably going to be, that little guy's going to be addicted to nicotine.
Addicted.
Anyway, next up, Vladimir Putin has won a third term for president of Russia. Vladimir Putin had 2 6-year terms and then took a hiatus for a couple years, and now he's back for another term, and nobody in Russia likes that.
It's like the reunion tour.
Like, everybody's pretty well convinced that this is some sort of, like, pulling some strings. Although a lot of people in Russia do want a very strong central government or a strong leader, and Putin has always been viewed as just, you know,
tyrannical,
rock strong. Yeah, totally tyrannical. The dude's nuts. But so he's won again. There's a voting group, I don't know, League of Voters, something, said that they don't acknowledge him as president, and that's that. Anyway, last up, a province in eastern Libya that I cannot pronounce has.
Can you try?
Sinaiserius?
How do you know of Sinaiserius?
Yeah, it's a province. It's a province in eastern Libya. Libya obviously used to be under the rule of Muammar Gaddafi, and now it's under the National Transitional Council. A group in eastern Libya has said, "Hey, we want autonomy. Not necessarily in like a divide Libya way, but in a we want a regional parliament and sort of, you know, semi sovereignty." And then the head of the National Transitional Council, Mustafa Abdel Jalil, said he will not have a divided Libya. So Libya is going, a few weeks ago on the show, we talked about how they took a poll in Libya, and Libya said that they would rather have a strong individual leader than a democracy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious, considering they just are still coming down from the Gaddafi ride.
You win some, you lose some.
Exactly. But that's it for the news. Let's go to your segment.
Woo!
Celebrity Minute.
Count me down.
Go!
In Demi Lovato's recent documentary, Stay Strong, she reveals that she started going downhill at age 4 when she first realized she was overweight. Uma Thurman thinks that Robert Pattinson takes himself way too seriously. Snooki has recently confirmed in weekly publication Us Magazine that she's both engaged and pregnant. Cher has announced her final farewell tour again, and she swears that this one's her last one. Mike Tyson is debuting a one-man show about himself called Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth live on stage. Queen Latifah is bringing a new sort of music competition to the CW in which musical mentors go to the contestants' hometowns rather than bringing the contestants to Hollywood. Madonna is getting married again, and this time to a man named Brehim Zabit, a 24-year-old that she's been dating for 2 years now. Tila Tequila was recently hospitalized for a brain aneurysm and a drug overdose, and is going to rehab. Zooey Deschanel thought that Lindsay Lohan did a good job hosting SNL this past week. Adele's Rolling in the Deep has become the top-selling digital song by a female artist of all time.
Wow.
Justin Bieber is in the market to buy a house for her and Selena... him and Selena Gomez.
Easy mistake to make.
Kate Middleton refers to tables containing chocolate as naughty counters. After Kirk Cameron, famed from the show Growing Pains, spoke on Piers Morgan Tonight about his open homophobia, Growing Pains co-star Tracy Gold has come forward to distance herself from Cameron, saying that she does not share in his beliefs. And in related news, Michelle Bachmann thinks that has come forward saying that Piers Morgan is rude. And that's all you need to know in this week's Celebrity Gossip.
Nice.
Woo!
I enjoyed that. That
was fun. Snooki's pregnant?
Yeah, and engaged. And she's getting a reality show spinoff to document her pregnancy and
of
engagement.
Course she is.
To the Guido that she has chosen.
No way.
And another fun fact about Snooki, she whenever she's being photographed now, she has to put on her ring as soon as she sees the paparazzi. But like the first couple of pictures, she doesn't remember to put it back on, her wedding ring.
Nice.
Because she just wants to be, you know, photographed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Why does she not just leave it on?
Because she's probably not really engaged.
I almost don't want to weigh in on the Snooki thing, but you know, people are like, oh, Snooki this, Snooki that. But it's much like with this is going to sound weird. It's much like when President Bush came in office.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, Bush this, Bush that. But he's in office. That means somewhere the majority of voters voted for him.
Oh, no, I love
Snooki. So are you saying that Snooki's pregnant, therefore someone somewhere had sex with Snooki?
No. I'm saying, obviously. But I'm saying that people are like, oh, why nobody likes Snooki? Why do we care about Snooki? Obviously somebody likes Snooki.
New Zealand. That's where.
New Zealand
you
know
loves
Snooki? Really?
Yeah.
Is she big there?
Oh, we have Jersey Shore parties where you just get the worst fake tans and we all go orange. It's fantastic.
Really? No way.
You guys don't have enough sun there.
Leopard print and little
amounts
of clothing.
Yeah, I thought you guys already had like a hole in your ozone and you all turned out orange anyway.
Oh, yeah, but just put it up a little bit more.
Y'all are just walking fruit.
We really are.
Fruit. Anyway, so I think, you know, I give props to Snooki.
I'm prepared to leave her alone because she is having a baby and that's like a real thing.
Yeah, that's not a
But
thing.
If she's having a reality show because of it, it's like, if you do something ridiculous while pregnant, I'm going to laugh at you.
Yeah, of course. Like, I'll laugh at her, but, and you know, I'm not going to comment on how smart or not smart she is because I actually cannot gauge it. It sounds weird, but
she's written two books
already. Yeah, exactly.
I kind of put her in that same group as like Paris Hilton who, you know, she's
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be, you know, you think like, oh, she's so ridiculous, but there has to be something to it.
She has to be working the system a little bit more.
Because look at other people who are ridiculous, like let's say Lindsay Lohan, who doesn't have two books and two reality shows.
And has gone to rehab a bunch of times. And yeah, she just hosted SNL, but that's the first thing she's done in months.
Yeah.
And being able to control yourself to look like a hot mess, but still get things done.
Before we go into our main topic, I didn't watch an episode of SNL, but one of the HuffPost headlines was that the opening was awkward or
it
something.
Why
was it awkward? What was awkward about it?
Her opening monologue or the opening, like, live from New York?
I don't know.
No, they opened by saying, like, just joking about whether she's going to stuff it up or not, and that they had a backup co-host.
Oh, yeah.
That's
sort of
awkward.
She did that awkward giggle where she's still like, like this.
Yeah,
because
you just got insulted on, like, live national
where
TV.
Where, like, Kirsten Wiig came in and patted
she
her down.
Great,
and they were, like, making sure she wasn't drunk. And
yeah, no, that's what they're referring to.
I really thought she looked great. That dress was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, props
to her,
you know.
She's had a lot of plastic surgery.
All I can say is that these people are more successful than I am monetarily, so.
Yeah.
That's that.
Go them.
All right, let's get into our main topic today in honor of our guest, Annette Starbuck of
Cupcake Wars.
We are talking about competition and specifically reality television competition because I am fascinated by it.
I love reality.
And this is something that I think is uniquely ours, our generations, because I remember when reality show first when there was not reality show.
Yeah.
And then there was reality show. And there was like a pretty you know, I'm not counting, you know, talk shows and variety shows and stuff. You know, I'm talking.
Do you count like Trading Spaces?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I guess I would. But
I love Trading Spaces.
But I'm thinking when reality shows first, I'm going to go ahead and say got really, really big, which to me is Survivor, Fear Factor, and Amazing Race.
Yes.
Yeah.
When those hit the scene, stuff changed.
But now we have the hyper competition where like, things like Cupcake Wars, where there's a winner every week.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
These things are, and then you get the ones where, you know, these seasons are pushed so quickly that they pump out all of these winners. You never remember the next one, and then they'll become judges, or they'll keep coming back, and it's really incestuous. And you have to watch it from the beginning to understand any episode you watch.
Now, I personally do not enjoy that. I don't like the weekly winner as I do the season winner, and I really only like the season winner if there's not that many seasons. Like American Idol, like I used to be able to, you know, for a portion of my life, be able to tell you who won each season.
Yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
I can't name any vice president ever, but I can tell you who won the first couple seasons of American Idol. That's all right. But now it's gone so far, I don't know who the judges are, I don't know who's winning, and then now there's, you start to see, I thought reality, it's weird. Let's talk about this for a sec, that at first, there was only a couple reality shows, we'll say.
Yeah.
A couple really
very
big ones.
Very niche market. Now it is the market.
And then it blew up, and then it's weird because the type of reality show has sort of dwindled, but now there's a bunch. Like, think about how many singing-based ones there are now, just in America.
X Factor, The Voice.
American Idol. And then there's been the Next Country Star, whatever that was, and then Nashville Star, and there's a lot of them. And so, America's Got Talent's kind of a gray area one. But I think when they first hit the scene, I was sort of, I like Survivor. I watched the first couple seasons of that. Fear Factor was kind of a, you know, you watch it to be grossed out. Amazing Race was kind of cool because it was like a travel channel with a little more spunk to it. But after that, when it started getting into the Jersey Shore type, Big Brother. Man, do you remember Big Brother?
Yeah, Big Brother.
Big Brother. Like, Big Brother, Real World, Surreal World, that type of stuff. I started to chafe at that. Granted, I was a little bit younger and not as wise as I am now, but I thought that this brand of television where all you do is watch other people, I thought that was a little beyond the pale.
Well, it's this new realm of hyper-reality. You know, it's not reality. It's you know, you're watching this thing that is supposed to be natural, that you're supposed to perceive as natural, but you know is not like your reality.
Right, right.
Which is a weird new... What?
Go ahead.
but anyway, we talk a lot about in queer studies and how this hyper-reality is affecting our reality and how we perceive what we should be doing on a daily basis because we live outside of ourselves.
Interesting.
You know, like, well, my life isn't like Snooki's, so therefore I'm not making it and I can't be present in my own body. But anyway, that's a bit philosophical.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we have Annette Starbuck of Goody Girls Cupcakes, winner of season 3 premiere of Cupcake Wars. That'll be just a few minutes. Stay tuned. This is Otter Pop Culture.
Otter Pop Culture. That's the number one radio show, baby.
Welcome back to Otter Pop Culture. Joining us tonight, we are very excited to have Annette Starbuck of Goody Girls Cupcakes, winner of the season 3 premiere of Cupcake Wars. Annette, how are you doing tonight?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to start off with kind of a doozy, just something we like to do, and that is, you've obviously had a successful business, started out as an online cupcake shop, is that right?
Yep.
And then you were on Cupcake Wars, you got selected and won the third season premiere. And now you have this cupcake shop in Glendale, yes?
Yeah, you got it.
Awesome.
So you were able to start that with the money you won on the show?
Yeah, I was. Actually, I was just a home baker before that, and I just did a lot of charity events. And then they casted me directly from kind of a charity event that I was at.
Oh.
Actually, they tried casting me twice, and I kind of refused them the first time because I was only a home baker. And then my husband the second time was kind of like, I think you should go on the show.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad it convinced you to do that.
I know, me too.
What line of work were you doing before then?
I was doing accounting.
Really?
Oh, really?
Well, that's a good change.
When did you start baking?
Maybe 2.5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I grew up literally on TV dinners. Nobody in my family knows how to cook or bake or, you know, even prepare a meal. So
where did this come from? Where did your affinity for baking come from?
I think the lack of having it when I was a kid.
So you just went out and said, I'm
going to
do it?
I'm good at this, and nobody else is, so in my family.
it wasn't them from watching TV channels with them. Cooking shows on.
No, I mean, you know, I did actually when we bought our house, I started a garden because I kind of got interested in it, and then that led to me kind of cooking, like doing culinary. And then I started watching the food channels, and then I guess I just started baking somehow.
So that's an interesting point. So without, you know, obviously I don't want to make you sound immodest, but you must have an affinity for it to go from baking for charity events and stuff and then, or not baking at all and then baking for charity events, and now you own a cupcake shop.
Yeah, you know what?
That's quite the meteoric rise to fame.
I think this is what I was meant to do.
So how did you get involved with, so I'm guessing the winning of the show got you involved with things like catering for movie premieres and other star-studded events like that?
You know, to be honest, I was doing some of that stuff beforehand because my husband is actually a musician.
Oh.
And so I kind of already was doing some of those things because of his career. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of already knew a few of the people, you know, in that genre. But then obviously winning the show was definitely kind of, it allowed me to do a lot more of those. Like a lot more people kind of knew about us and came to us.
Excellent. Well, going back to you saying that you didn't bake a lot as a kid, what did you want to be as a kid?
I think I wanted to be an attorney at one point. I think another time I wanted to just snorkel with dolphins. You know, I didn't really have, I knew that I was really good at math and I was really good at fighting. So
so it was either a street fighter or an accountant?
Lawyer. Word fighting.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a secret,
same
like,
thing.
Mixed martial arts career in the background.
No, I'm only 5'1". I don't think anybody would be scared of me.
Well, I don't know. You're pretty successful, so I'm not going to fight you, but that's just me.
You might be quite happy to hear that, actually, I've seen Cupcake Wars in New Zealand. So it's well international, and it's quite popular over there as well.
Oh, that's amazing. That's nice to hear.
So what was the reality show experience for you? I hear the first stage is pretty difficult, right?
Yeah, you know, it's all kind of a blur. I won't, you know, just doing the contest and just kind of being there. And, you know, honestly, being on set, it was my first time ever in a commercial kitchen. So not only, like, you know, did I go from just kind of home baking for charity, but then I went on the show and then I had no idea how to use these big ovens. I had no idea that fridges could even be that big, you know. So it was definitely really, you know, traumatic for me.
Well, you obviously made it work. I mean, you won.
Yeah, thank goodness, huh?
Now, let me ask you, obviously, you must produce a wide variety of cupcakes. Do you have a personal favorite cupcake?
I like sugar, so kind of every one of them I love. But if I had to pick, I have to tell you, I love blueberry pancakes. I do. I kind of do all my flavors based around foods that I like.
Oh.
So, like, I did blueberry pancake, which I absolutely adore, and peanut butter and jelly. Those are my two favorite, and strawberry lemonade. And literally, like, those three I could devour every single day, you know, probably as a meal instead of even having those actual items as a meal.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you again. Did you say a peanut butter and jelly cupcake?
Uh-huh, yeah.
It sounds delicious.
I'm very curious how physically that happens. Is it like, is it like a jelly
lumps of it?
Cupcake and peanut butter on top, or is it?
It's a buttermilk cake, so it kind of gives you, you know, like a sourdough-ish feel,
uh-huh.
With like grape jelly in the middle and then peanut butter frosting. So
wow.
It literally tastes like an Uncrustable.
That's incredible. And you're single-handedly making me far hungrier than I was before.
Awesome.
Now, going along the same vein, what do you think is the most popular cupcake you produce?
The strawberry lemonade one, everybody, like, I take it on and off the menu constantly because we rotate, and that one is definitely by far the most, you know, one that people request. And then as far as our normal flavors every day, I'd probably say either our strawberry or our chocolate fudge.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Now, we're up in San Francisco, and we have a couple cupcake shops, but I haven't seen them around, or I started seeing them around a few years ago. To me, they're a relatively new concept, and I don't know if that's actually accurate or not. I come from a small town.
Right.
What's it like owning a cupcake shop? Is it only cupcakes, or do you have other confectionery products?
Currently, we just have cupcakes, and, you know, I know that, you know, one of the first people to do it, Sprinkles, and they've been doing it for over 8 years, so I know that it's been around for quite some time, but it just kind of became this huge thing in the last couple of years, so there is, especially being in L.A., there's a lot of competition, you know, but right now, we just have cupcakes, and we are going to venture off into kind of different areas, probably our next go-to for the summer, we're going to start doing chocolates. So,
ooh.
Yeah, hopefully we'll bring that in.
So what does it take to make it in the cupcake industry? Is it, do you have to have a wide product range or a couple really solid cupcakes under your belt? What have you found out that is giving you an edge?
I think just having some classic flavors and then always mixing it up weekly. And then, I mean, it goes without saying, but your product really has to shine. You have to be, you know, there's so many in L.A. that you have to always have fresh and, like, the best and new flavors coming out.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have that market cornered. You're like the Willy Wonka of cupcakes in terms of flavors.
Yeah, I was also looking at your website. You have a lot of stuff that you can order online, like the I was looking at the peanut butter and jelly one. Is that like a frosting?
The peanut butter and jelly.
I mean,
like
something
in
a
container.
It was in a jar.
Oh yeah, that's also a cupcake in a jar. And then we also do
a
these amazing things called cake ups, which we actually did a live demo on CBS's The Talk a while back. And they're like you know the push up ice cream that
yeah.
you used to eat when you were little.
Yeah.
We do those in like cupcakes now. So
no
we
way.
Put them in I call them cake ups. And so it's like a mini cupcake and frosting and filling, and then another mini cupcake and frosting and filling. And it's, you know, I like it because, you know, for all of us girls out there, we can put them in our purse and travel with them and, you know, eat one little mini off the top and then put it back and then eat the one next one later.
What a fantastic idea.
You're
changing my world.
That's
here.
A game changer. You have perfected the portable cupcake.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you can buy, are those tins that you can make your own or...
Those ones, yeah, we sell them completely empty for, like, the home baker across the U.S. if they want to buy them, you know, completely clear so they can make them themselves. And then we also sell them, you know, filled with whatever you want across the U.S. as well. We can ship all those.
I think I'm going to have to order some after the show. I'm getting really excited here.
Did you say earlier something about a cupcake in a jar?
Yeah, we call them jammies. I know, it's cute, right?
Adorable.
We kind of call them that, A, because they're in a jar, and B, because, you know, it's something like I just look at, I would curl up with one in bed and sit there and watch movies and just spoon it right out of the jar. So I like them. We call them jammies, and we bake the cupcake directly into the jar and then put the frosting and filling and can it, and it's they're really yummy. Like I said, I just eat them in front of the TV.
I have never. Is that your original idea?
No, you know, I've seen plenty of people do them with cupcakes or different ideas as well. I just thought they were really cute.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Wow. So you can get cupcakes, I mean, for our listeners in San Francisco. Wow, that's so crazy.
Yep.
I can try. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to get one of the peanut butter and jelly ones.
Hey, if you don't mind me asking, how many people do you employ now then?
You know, we have a small team. We're still at like 5 people right now. And mostly because I'm kind of hands-on. I actually physically bake still, and I'm in the store. I like to try to keep everything just very family-orientated. And I also like to be personal with kind of all my customers. I pretty much know everything and everybody that comes in and out of here.
So you have regulars and you come in and you go, oh, you want the normal?
Yeah.
And you give them a jammy and
or
they
I'm
go?
I'm like, you know, you just had one, you know, at 8 this morning. Are you sure you want another one right now?
I think you've had enough.
No such thing.
So what are the potential in the future for a possible cupcake boss reality show?
I would love that. I would die for one. No, I wouldn't die. But, you know, I really, really love TV, and I love everything that it gives. And honestly, I have to say one of the best things of being on Cupcake Wars and all that is I got so many emails from little girls across the United States just sending, like, pictures of cupcakes that they did and telling me that, you know, I'm 9 years old and you're my inspiration and look what I did this week. And, you know, that to me was worth it all. You know, and so if we could do some kind of like reality show and then still get those letters coming in, that's what it's worth, you know.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
we've got a question in the chat room, and that we've got a person asking, do you have a bunch of recipes in your head that you just cycle through? Are you the one that comes up with the new recipes?
I am. I come up with all of them. And yes, I kind of just play with flavors. Honestly, I use my customers as guinea pigs. You know, like I literally did a mint Oreo recipe this week. It was the first time I've ever done it, and yesterday was the first time it's ever been in the store. You know, so I kind of I use my customers as guinea pigs, and thank goodness they like them all so far.
Is there anything you're planning for the future recipe wise that you haven't tried yet but you've been thinking about?
You know what? Next week I'm doing a Irish car bomb for St. Paddy's Day, and I've never done one, so hopefully that one turns out good.
An Irish car bomb cupcake.
Yeah.
What is What's the weirdest ingredient that you've ever been able to incorporate into a cupcake?
Probably salmon.
What?
Yeah, it's like a brunch cupcake, but yeah, definitely salmon. And you know what's funny is most people kind of do the same thing you did, like ew or yuck, or and I kind of did the same thing, but then when we made it, it was one of our favorite cupcakes.
Really?
So do you make savory cupcakes?
I usually don't, but that one happened to be.
Oh, so interesting.
Does it then still have sugar in it? It's still sweet?
A little, not as much. It's kind of just a basic, it's like a dill cupcake with salmon mousse in the middle. And then we did a cream cheese chive frosting with salmon caviar on top. So I did add like a little bit of sugar to the cream cheese, you know, frosting, but it's not very heavy in sugar.
Oh, now I'm going yum.
Yeah, you can see your face right now.
So let me ask you, what is next in terms of your schedule and appearances and...
Hopefully a TV show.
Hopefully. I'm petitioning.
Honestly, just hopefully we're going to expand here in the next year and open another store. And then, you know, if we're looking for a possible TV show, we have some ideas in mind. And then just kind of expanding here and keeping up with our charity and our TV events. And
how exciting. Well, I'm definitely going to buy some products in the hopes that one day I will see a Goody Girls in San Francisco.
Awesome.
So that I might be a regular as well.
Love that.
Let's shift gears a little bit and let's go to a little bit pop culture because we're a pop culture show out of San Francisco.
Right.
Let me ask you, what music are you into? Do you listen to music while you bake?
I don't, but I love music.
All right. What's on your iPod right now?
You're going to laugh at me when I tell you.
No, we've got some good answers, so don't worry.
I'm a total Britney Spears and Lady Gaga fan.
Me
oh,
too.
I understand.
Yeah, my co-hosts are all about that. They've been trying to persuade me, and they got me on Lady Gaga, but Britney Spears, I was just watching one of her concert DVDs with my roommate, and I'm not fully swayed yet, but please, go on.
I love her.
She's our pop princess. I understand.
I respect her. I just don't listen to her for recreation yet.
Okay.
What TV shows are you frequently watching these days?
Gossip Girl.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, I know. And Cupcake Wars, of course.
of course.
And pretty much all of the food station channels. But yeah, Gossip Girl, Desperate Housewives, 90210.
God, we are on the same level.
And then, of course, I get force-fed Family Guy and American Dad for my husband.
You take the good with the bad.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the last best movie you saw?
Oh.
Doesn't have to be a new movie. Just the last one that you saw that you were stoked on.
Sherlock Holmes.
The first one or the second one or an old one that...
Second. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it. Was it good?
Yes.
Awesome. Better than the first?
The same, I think.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
I like that.
The same movie.
I can dig that. All right, well, let's wrap it up a bit. And before we go... we've got a lot of college students I know love to bake. That's our primary audience is college students. Do you have any advice for people that would like to follow in your footsteps?
Don't be scared and just go with it. As much as you think that, you know, you can't do it or maybe it's not for you or you're an accountant, you know, I say follow your dreams 100% because it's worth it.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Annette. We had a great time.
Thanks for having me.
And if you could just cue us out before we go...
You got it. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Hi, this is Annette Starbuck, and you're listening to Otter Pop Culture.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and have a great night, Annette.
Thanks, you too.
Take care.
All right, bye.
That was awesome.
That was so much fun.
I definitely enjoyed that.
I like her.
I do too. I'm so hungry right now, though.
I'm starving.
But for cupcakes. I'm not saying it's not like normal.
Like
normally, I'm in
cupcake.
Like a burger mode after this, but now God. I'm just
quick,
fully in.
Order one online.
Fully in, I know. A jammy or the push. A cake ups is. And like what? I don't have words.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to resort to sign language for this one. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will finish up our discussion about reality television and competition because we still have some good ones to get to. Stay tuned. This is Otter Pop Culture.
Hey, my name's Louis Mandalore. You're listening to Otter Pop Culture.
Just like Louis Mandalore said, this is Otter Pop Culture. My name is Otter. We've only got a few minutes left, but we are gonna finish up talking about reality television and competition. I personally would like to talk about dating shows.
They're fascinating.
Fascinating. Breed. They are, because we started out with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, yes?
Yes, and I watched the first three seasons.
Right.
Now they're on
And that set the standard, but then they started doing these crazy dating shows where they start incorporating popular culture figures. So now we have
Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love with Flava Flav.
Rock of Love.
Rock of Love with Brett Michaels,
Daisy
right?
Daisy of Love.
Daisy
with
of
Daisy
Love.
Daisy De La Hoya.
Which is somebody.
Which was a loser of
on
Rock of Love.
Rock of Love.
She's actually Oscar De La Hoya's niece.
No way.
Yeah, but they don't talk.
Well, Oscar De La Hoya is hilarious and transsexual. So
yeah.
We've seen
which
the pictures.
Fine.
I know. It's totally cool. I like him more for it.
And then there's the Trans-American Love Story, which if you haven't seen, please don't. It is embarrassing.
That's the...
The transgender one. Which is fine, but
yeah,
it makes a mockery out of the transgender.
Yeah, it was pretty tuck and go. Double Shot at Love
with
Tila
Tequila. And then the sequel to Double Shot at Love with Ricky... And Vicky, the bisexual twins.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me because it started out being a pretty, not a generic concept, but the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, they could be anybody. Granted, they were always like beautiful white people, but they could be anybody.
Yeah.
But then it started to be dating shows surrounding, like I said, one pop culture figure, and normally a pop culture figure that nobody really cares about.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I didn't know who Brett Michaels was. What band is he in?
Poison.
Poison, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
Every
that.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
Yeah, no, I know what Poison is. I didn't realize he was the lead singer of it.
Yeah.
Is he the lead singer or is he like a background singer?
No, he's the lead singer. I think it's Poison. It's Poison, right?
I don't know.
But someone correct me.
So now they have these dating shows about people that we don't generally care about, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Especially when they start doing the ones like, you know, Daisy of Love. Like, really? Like, I'm going to see...
I Love New York.
Who is New York?
Loser of Flavor of Love.
Oh, really?
And Daisy loves a loser of Rock of Love. But it's just odd. It's odd how the love shows have suddenly gone out of fashion. And now it's gone from that. Now we have the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And everything's about Jersey.
But the Jersey,
right now.
The Jersey Shore was a take on the
real world.
Real world. It's real world. Sort of Big Brother.
Road rules.
All those. So Jersey Shore. But now they're taking the Jersey Shore type and they're refining it again because now they're making all the other social class ones. Last I heard, like, Wikipedia has a list. They were making a Persian one, an Irish one, a British one, a Korean one. Jordy Shore, I've heard of it.
Jordy Shore, do you get it?
Jordy Shore?
It's the British one.
They're really bad.
Yeah, it's
is it?
Aren't they all chavs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it's pretty much just exactly the same. They just get really drunk and it's just the accent. Oh, God.
Yeah,
the accent.
With British, with trashy British.
Because they're like, they're super trashy.
I just can't stand pasty.
Because they're on the eastern coast of Britain, right?
I don't like trashy British people because it's like you are a hand-fed class.
Yeah.
And you threw it away.
Seriously.
You could be so, you know, aristocratic and just, you know, talk like a fancy British
and
person.
And none of us would think anything of it.
A trashy gypsy.
Exactly.
Oh, God. The people on the Muni the other day, they were crazy drunk and...
Crazy
English
British
and,
people on Muni.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it happens. So we have those, and that's interesting, because to me, that's what reality shows are right now. Those are, and then we still obviously...
Jersey.
It is. I mean, we have the old standards, of course. We still have Survivor and Amazing Race, and I think they brought back Fear Factor.
Are those as popular as they were?
No, not at all.
Now, have you been paying attention to the food ones recently? Now, they've been around so long, we've gotten to the wave of... All-star food shows.
Yeah.
Where
they've had so many seasons, they can bring back runner-up of eight different seasons.
That's a whole other topic that we talked about a couple weeks ago, is the food competition shows. Iron Chef, Chopped, you know, all the Cupcake Wars.
I miss
the
old Iron Chef, the one that wasn't in English.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because that's a big one. I want to talk about really quickly, they have fashion shows, which
are
doing well.
Fashion shows.
From Say Yes to the Dress, What Not to Wear, RuPaul's Drag Race is wonderful. RuPaul's Drag Race is wonderful. And if you haven't seen it,
fierce. And it's all available online.
Yeah,
a lot of people think they can't watch it because they don't have Logo, but it's all on LogoTV.com.
Is Project Runway, is that still...
It's not as popular
no,
as it used
no, no,
to
no,
be.
No, not as popular. Then they had, let's talk about the dance shows.
Ooh, so you think you can
so
dance.
So you think you can dance.
I don't think I can.
Dancing
I
with the Stars, America's Next Best Dance Crew,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
I loved that.
America's Next Best Dance Crew was, especially the first season, first two seasons.
Was that Jabberwocky?
Yeah, Jabberwocky. And Surreal Crew. No, Surreal Crew is from Dance Sanctuary,
isn't
it? I
like the super group.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Whatever the runners-up were incredible.
Yeah.
And I think they should have won, but
Jabberwocky
had more style.
But it's weird being fascinating, like, if you're the winner of one of these things. Like, I mean, like, our guest today, like, he really took the money and did something with it. But
yeah, seriously.
See how many just fade into oblivion.
Oh, my God. Almost everybody.
Almost everybody.
Hey, let me blow your mind. Ruben Studdard. I remember one time, like, this was 5 or 6 years ago, I read an article on TheOnion.com, the fake news site, that was titled, and the last mention of Ruben Studdard floated softly into the night air. And it was about how somebody was like, hey, remember that guy, Ruben Studdard? And it was like, and that was the last time anybody ever said his name.
He became a gospel singer.
He did,
and then,
yeah.
And then the gospel community stopped caring. Even they couldn't hold him up. They're like, you got God on your side, and I still don't care.
Yep.
Blake's still around, but he's gay, and the gays hate him.
Yep. It's true. Kelly Clarkson's doing well.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody cares about Justin Guarini.
But Carrie Underwood just came out with a new album.
Oh, really? Go
yeah.
her.
I mean, yeah.
And really, I was going to touch on, we don't have time, but Japanese game shows literally
are amazing.
Rule my world. So let me ask you, reality shows, they've definitely had their ups and downs. I think we're getting better and worse at the same time. We're getting some really good reality shows, and we're getting some absolutely terrible. The terrible ones are the degradations of existing standards, like the dating shows, the travel shows, and you get some weird cooking shows.
Yeah.
But we're also getting some really, really good reality TV. The old ones, to me, are dead. Survivor, Amazing Race, all that stuff, like Fear Factor, I don't care.
If they are on the air, I don't know.
Exactly. But so I'm interested to see what the next big thing in reality TV will be, absent Jersey Shore. Because Jersey Shore, like I said, is not really a new concept.
I hope they tap into the amazing treasure trove of the Midwest.
They definitely should.
Because I mean, we have like 18 kids and counting, but I want like trashy Midwestern teenagers.
But it needs
really
to be a competition about
something.
Like a
competition of like who can black out the first, like the fastest.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Oh, God.
And then we'll make them do, like, stunts.
Let's wrap it up, but my verdict on reality competition shows, is that they're better than existing reality, they're better than the other reality shows, but it's definitely hit and miss. You kind of have to pick your battles pretty well with the competition shows. You can watch, like, Iron Chef and Cupcake Wars, and RuPaul's Drag Race, and you can find some awesome shows, or you can watch Rock of Love and Double Shot of Love.
Which I'll still do.
Yeah, and you know, the classic Fear Factor and stuff.
But who doesn't love trashy TV?
I don't know. I've had my fill of it. I think as a society, I think we're a little bit past it.
A little bit.
A little. I think we're on the tail egg. We're on the tail end of it. If Snooki's getting a spinoff, that means by the time a spinoff comes around, the regular show's dead.
Yeah.
So that's that. Once again, this is Otter Pop Culture, brought to you by Courage Juice and Extreme PR. Our guest today was Annette Starbuck, and we have a caller that's calling in at the very last moment. Let's see what they have to say for themselves. Not a whole lot.
How symbolic.
I like that. All right. Brought to you by Courage Juice and Extreme PR. Our guest today was Annette Starbuck of Goody Girls. If you would like to check out Annette's website, please go to
thegoodygirls.com.
Goody, G-O-O-D-I-E.
Make sure the is in front, though.
It's thegoodygirls.com to order some delicious, delicious cupcakes. We'll post it on our Facebook. Thanks again for joining us. Next week, we'll have another guest, and you have a great night.